We're going to do a shorter teaching today, but it's going to be action-packed, all right? Shorter, but action-packed and full of good stuff. So let's open up our Bibles to Revelation chapter 20, as we're going to finish chapter 20 today, verses 7 through 15. We will get it done. I'll make sure of it. Look at verse 7. Now, when 1,000 years had expired, Satan was released from his prison, and he will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven had fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which are written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, the death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. And then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's take it to the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, again for this morning. And Lord, open your word to us. I pray this time that we spend together would be fruitful. Lord, you would feed us. You would teach us. You would excite us about the future to come. You would inform us, Lord, about what's going to be taking place. But Lord, most of all, that we would just be filled with you, that we would be close to you, that we would know you and that we would love you, and that, Lord, you would be blessed and we would be blessed as your kids. God, minister to your flock through your word, by your spirit, and I'm believing you to do it. And ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, where we get to in today's passage, guys, I've entitled this Satan's Last Stand and the Great White Throne, because that's exactly how it's going to be broken up into two segments. We're going to see Satan giving his last big push to try to disrupt mankind and drag as many to hell with him as he can at the end of the 1,000-year reign. And then we're going to see the final judgment of all mankind, the great white throne of God, everyone who's ever died throughout the ages called up and standing before the Lord. Last week, remember, we saw that after the second coming that Satan was grabbed, he was bound for 1,000 years into the heart of the earth in a place called the bottomless pit. And again, bottomless because it's round in the very center and God holding him down there. Then the Bible says, we will rule and reign with the Lord for 1,000 years here on the earth. No influence of Satan, no influence of the demonic realm, no problem with them, just ruling and reigning with the Lord. Now, here's where it really gets interesting, because this is where prophetically I want to make sure you guys have your chronology in order and you can tell the difference between all the last days battles that are going to take place so you know what it's talking about, because there are three main last days battles that are yet to take place. And some of them can seem to be the same battle unless you see the differences in them. So we'll point them out. Now, remember the chronology. The battle we're waiting on right now is the battle where Iran and Russia are going to link up and move on Israel. Is anybody seeing that formulate? Russia and Iran are allied together. If you're a news buff at all, if you're keeping up, they are already kind of, as they say, saber rattling, talking about, you know, an attack against Iran would be an attack against Russia. Russia said just the other day. Israel's already saying pretty much at some point we're going to have to attack Iran. We don't know when because of them developing a nuclear weapon. And when that happens, it may very well kick in this Ezekiel 38 and 39 linking together of the Arab nations to move against Israel. At that time, those nations that move against Israel will be wiped out, the Bible says. God will move in a great way. 5/6 of the armies will be destroyed right outside of Israel. So if you're there at Israel at that time, no worries. It'll be exciting, but you're good. And then that'll be done with. Then there'll be, again, that 7 years. There'll be the rapture of the church sometime right around there. We'll be in heaven. At the end of the 7 years, we come back down. And now is the second battle that's still yet to come, the Battle of Armageddon. Now, a lot of us think is the Battle of Armageddon is the very end. It is not. It is the very end of this age, of this era, but not the very end of our existence on this earth. So we'll come back in the second coming. There'll be the Battle of Armageddon. The Lord will speak, wipe out the armies. And remember, there's this big bloodbath. He calls all the birds of the heavens to come, and they clean the bloodbath up outside of Jerusalem again and inside of the Armageddon area. And then we begin the 1,000-year reign with the Lord to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. During that time, Satan is locked up. And now we come to the end of the 1,000 years. Boy, that flew by, didn't it? You know, time flies when you're having fun, huh? And it is going to go by quick. I was thinking just this morning, you know, when there's no time, when time really isn't an issue to us, and we're just all having a blast with the Lord, that 1,000 years is probably going to go by quickly. And so we're going to have the 1,000 years. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, here's what's going to happen. The Bible says that there will be people going into the millennial kingdom who are in their normal bodies. They don't have their new bodies yet. Those who got saved after the rapture, they will go into the millennial kingdom in their normal bodies. They will have children. Their children will have children. And you'll have the earth populated with billions of people that are born during that time, or billions of people probably populating the earth, millions and maybe billions, probably billions in 1,000 years. I mean, imagine how many people will be populating in 1,000 years. Death will be done away with except for a short instance. There won't be disease or illness. When you die in your old body, you'll probably get your new one right away. But there won't be disease wiping out large portions of the population. There won't be all the other issues. There won't be murder. There won't be all these things. So the earth is going to be populated, and there's going to be a lot of people on it. And we're going to see as we get in this passage today that multitudes are going to come against us in that final third battle that's still yet to come at the very end, because there's so many on the planet. You know, you think about how many people can this planet really hold? I know there's a big talk today about we're overpopulated or whatever, but how many of you guys have gotten on a plane and flown for, 300 miles and seen nothing but desert, or seen nothing but emptiness? I mean, wilderness, if you speak. There's a lot of space on this earth for a lot more people. The problem is it's not developed. Now, the good news is during the millennial kingdom, there's going to be all the crops will be doing great. Everything will be growing. There'll be plenty of food, plenty of supplies. The earth will spring to life. And there'll be billions of people on the earth again during that time. You think about even the ones having children. Now, probably some of you ladies don't like the thought of having kids for 1,000 years, but let me put this in a different context. Can you imagine if there was no pain in childbirth and if your children never rebelled? That's what the 1,000-year reign is going to be like. They may want to rebel, but the Bible says that they won't be able to during the millennial kingdom. So all your kids will be good kids. You can have as many kids as you want. I mean, the shows are probably things like 499 and counting, next week, they're waiting on their 500th child, and all this kind of thing. And how do you do it? Oh, it's easy, and it's whatever. You ever see those people that do that? It's a gift, isn't it? It's a gift. I've got 4 kids. I'm like, stop it. Come here. What are you doing? Like this. They got like 20 some kids. And she's like, well, I think I'll do my nails and my hair. There's just not a place where I'm like, to me, that's just not real. All right. I can't handle that. But God bless. It is real. And God blesses people like that, doesn't he? And there's probably going to be a lot of them during that time. And it's going to be an exciting time. So that's kind of the setting of what's happening here on the earth when all this is taking place. So Satan is now, we're at the end of the 1,000 years. And now God is going to release him. And when he's released, he's going to gather all of the rebellious on the earth. Now you say, Mark, what rebellious? Well, remember, of those that are born, they're going to be forced to stay righteous, but they're still going to have sinful hearts. And some of them are going to rebel against the Lord. God is going to allow Satan out one more time to gather all on the earth who really didn't love the Lord for a long time, but were forced to. And now they're going to be able to gather together. God's going to allow that. They're going to come to Jerusalem, as we're going to see, to try to fight against us. Then the Lord is going to clean this earth off once and for all and create a brand new heaven and a brand new earth that has never been sinned in. And we take up here in verse 7 with Satan being released. Notice what it says. Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison, and he will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. Again, gathering those that were rebellious in heart, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. A couple of things to note. Gog and Magog, this is where you need to understand your three battles clearly, because you can be confused. God uses the terminology Gog and Magog for more than one battle in Scripture. We see back in Ezekiel 38, he refers to that battle as Gog and Magog. Now we see the battle at the end of the 1,000 years, which is obviously a quite different battle. He uses the same terminology, Gog and Magog. Now, scholars disagree on what Gog and Magog means. I don't know if there's something, obviously something symbolic there to the Lord, something. But we know this, it represents the rebellious of the earth. So this Gog and Magog, don't let that be a stumbling block. This is simply the gathering of the rebellious of the earth again as they're coming against Jerusalem. And notice secondly in that verse, to gather them to battle whose number is as the sand of the sea. Now remember I said how the population is going to explode during the millennial kingdom. Remember, people will be living hundreds of years old again. Hundreds of years. And so all this growth and all the lack of disease and all that, and there's going to be a multitude as the sand of the sea. I mean, there's going to be huge numbers of people coming against Jerusalem to fight us. Now this is amazing to me to think about. Because during the millennial kingdom, all weapons will be done away with. You won't need your 45. You won't need a tank for battle. You won't need the jets. Everything's going to be peace on the earth. There's not going to be a problem. There won't be a need for that kind of thing. It says they'll take their swords and beat them into plowshares. They'll be working the fields with their old swords. So what are these guys going to be fighting with? And this again just shows me the arrogance and the ridiculous nature of this final attack. It's going to be a mob mentality around the earth marching on us at Jerusalem, carrying what, I don't know, pitchforks and what are they? I don't know what they're going to have. But I was trying to imagine this. I try to live these scenes out in my mind, and so I don't want to say this is Bible, but I imagine being there in Jerusalem and being there with the Lord, and we all know it's coming. The Lord, we're ready for it. He's gathered the saints there, and he's there on his throne, and here they come, and we see these multitudes coming from the earth all around us from all sides, and we're just sitting there thinking, what are you guys thinking? Didn't you learn your lesson? I mean, haven't you seen his power? Haven't you seen his glory? And in my mind, I see this whole thing of the Lord, whether or not he'll stand up or not, but just kind of standing up and just, whoa. The Bible says fire will come down from heaven, consume them completely. Remember the scene there again? I've used this before, but I love it. That scene in Chronicles of Narnia, if you've seen that movie, where Aslan comes out of his tent and roars, and the white witch or whatever falls back, that representation of Satan and evil falls back and kind of, just kind of stymied by the power that came from Aslan, I believe they're just going to be shocked at the power. And the Bible says fire will come down from heaven. Look at verse 9 there. It says, then they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints, the beloved city, that's another name for Jerusalem, and were there with the Lord, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Now notice that, fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. It's not going to be like the other battle. See the difference in this battle. The one that happens here in Ezekiel 38 and 39, that's coming up soon, it says that again, God calls together, they're wiped out. He brings and just wipes them all out. Then we see the battle of Armageddon. God calls together all the birds of the air and all are coming to devour the flesh for those battles. But this battle, there's no call to the birds. It's going to be a complete annihilation. The word devour there, when it says that fire will come down and devour them or annihilate or whatever word your Bible has there, it means completely consume. So when God's fire comes down, there's going to be nothing but dust. It's just going to be ashes. There won't be anything for the birds to devour. There won't be any bones left. There won't be anything. It's just going to be completely cut down and devoured. And then at that point, the Lord will again create the new heaven and the new earth. And we'll see that as we get into it next week. Now, Peter talks about this battle as well in 2 Peter. And this is where it's important that we understand the battles so we don't get confused. Because God using some of the same terminology, like a thief in the night. The Bible says when the rapture of the church takes place, it'll be like a thief in the night. We're not going to be ready. Suddenly, boom, the Lord will show up and we're going to be out of here. Well, the same thing is true of this final thing where they're coming against us in Jerusalem and surrounding us here at this very end of the 1,000-year reign. The Lord's just going to surprise them. It's going to, as a thief in the night. Peter speaks of it again in 3:10. Listen to what he says. The day of the Lord will be as a thief in the night in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. I mean, they say that if you ignited the heavens, can you imagine the explosion of you igniting the heavens? You may not believe in a big bang right now, but you will then. That's when the big bang's going to be. And it says the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements, that is all the things in the atmosphere, will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in them will be burned up. This is when that happens. Obviously, it doesn't get burned up before the 1,000 years. So we know Peter's talking about at the very end, and the Bible says God will completely burn the earth up and destroy it and start anew. That's where we get the saying, it's all going to burn, so don't get too attached to it. This entire earth is going to burn, so don't get too attached to it. And it's going to be an amazing thing when it happens. That is this current earth, and the Lord again will create a brand new one. So they're devoured, and notice verse 10, then the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and forever. Now, several things to note here. First of all, note that the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. He's going to deceive the earth again. Again, this will be his last chance to do that, to deceive the earth. He'll be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. Now remember, at the beginning of the 1,000-year reign that we saw last week, what happens to the beast and the false prophet? They're thrown in. Yeah, God grabs them, throws them. They're the first two into the lake of fire. Then for 1,000 years, they're down there by themselves swimming around. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is released, gathers all the armies of the earth again to come against us. God wipes them out and devours them in this third great and final battle still yet in the biblical future. And this time he grabs Satan and throws Satan in there with them. And notice what it says. They will be tormented. How long? Forever and forever. And guys, I want to point this out again because there is a false teaching in the church today that says that hell is temporary. That says that hell is limited. They speak of annihilation theology or being completely done. You're just kind of burned up and then you're gone and don't exist. Or there's a limit to how long you go through that, and then it goes on. The reality is the Bible teaches that the lake of fire is forever and ever, and those that are in the lake of fire will be there forever and ever. Here's the good news. God has given us a way out through Jesus Christ. And Jesus said this, that hell was not created for man. It wasn't created for people. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Here's the problem. When we don't receive the Lord, guess who we get clumped in with? And so we get clumped in with the devil and his angels, and although God never intended us to be there, that's where we end up because we have turned away from the Lord. And so now we see this judgment forever and ever on Satan and the false prophet and the beast, and now we're going to see the rest of the judgment for everyone else. Look at verse 11. Now we shift to the great white throne judgment. So the Lord destroys the earth, and then it says, I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. Again, the earth is, that no doubt is referring to the fact that the earth has now been destroyed. It's fled away from the presence of the Lord, or else just it's cowering down at the Lord's great presence. And there was found no place for them, that is for the heaven and the earth, because God is going to destroy the heaven and the earth and create a new one. Again, we'll get to that next week, so we won't keep you without a planet for too long, I promise. Just a week. And then, verse 12, and notice it says, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Now, again, a lot in this verse, but what a scene. Imagine this. What this is saying is every person that has ever existed throughout history that has not given their life to God or believed in the promised Messiah has been now held in this bottomless pit, this holding tank. They're going to be brought forward and they're going to be placed before the Lord. All mankind throughout history, the unsaved of history, will stand before the Lord to be judged. And notice what it says will happen. This is amazing. It says the books, plural, the books will be opened. Mark, what do you mean the books? This is amazing, guys. There's going to be more than one book. There's going to be a lot of books there. But there's going to be the book of life, that one book by itself, the Lamb's book of life. And it's going to be opened as well. And there's going to be all these other books that are open. What are these other books that are open? Well, there's going to be books. Obviously, the Word of God will be there as they're being judged by the Word of God. But whether or not God will have that book open, he himself is the Word of God. So whether or not that would need to be open, I don't know, because he is the Word. But it's interesting. It says, notice this. It says, they will be judged by their works, according to their works that are written in the books. Guys, stay with me. Listen what's happening. Listen, your life is a book being written right now in heaven. Did you know that? What it's saying is there is a book in heaven that is writing everything down about our life. Everything we've done, all that we do, everywhere we are, everything we've thought, it is on a hard drive in heaven that can never be erased. It is in a book in heaven. It is written down and it is on the shelves of God in the kingdom. And what's going to happen is when all these unsaved are called up before the Lord, they're going to bring them there and they're going to be judged by their life, by the chapters they wrote. Today you're writing a page. Over the next month, you may write a chapter. How big your book will depend on how long you live. But here's what the Bible's saying. Everything you are doing and everything you have ever done is recorded in heaven in a book. Now, is that kind of freaky or what? Now, here's the good news. If you're a believer in Christ, your book is destroyed. You see, here's what the Bible says. What's going to happen is they're going to pull those books down. The unsaved dead will stand before the Lord on the throne there. And if anybody dares to try to make an argument about how they were a good person or they did more good than they did bad, their book's going to be open. It's going to be a done deal. Everything you've done, even from childhood, has been written down. That piece of gum you stole, the quarter you picked up that wasn't yours, the all the way up through the test you cheated on. In seventh grade, it's all written down before the Lord. The person you lived with before marriage or maybe had relations with, it's all written down before the Lord. It's all there. There's no escaping it. It doesn't erase. It's interesting. You take a hard drive and you can erase the hard drive, right? At least you thought. Because you can take a hard drive that's been erased and you can take it to professionals with the right kind of machinery and they can take that hard drive that's been erased and pull the information back off of it. Did you guys realize that? Some of you are going, no, I'm just kidding. But the bottom line is you can't really erase it. But even if you could erase it down here, guess where you can't erase it? You can't erase it in heaven. And if you don't know the Lord today, God's going to pull your book out and he's going to record your whole life. If you want to make an argument about how you deserve heaven, it's going to be settled really quickly of how you don't. And the only ones that are going to deserve heaven are going to be those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But here's the good news, and I've already let the cat out of the bag. This is so awesome to me because I was meditating on this morning. The books are open, but guess who doesn't have a book in heaven? You don't. If you know Jesus Christ, no book. Now, some might say, well, the book is, you know, there is a book, but the book is erased. I won't even say that the book is erased. I'm saying the book is gone. Now, if you guys have a book that you've been writing, like the book that I've been writing, how many of you would say amen to that right now? Amen. Guys, it's been erased. You know, when you came to the Lord and you knelt down to pray to give your life to Jesus Christ and you felt the weight of your sin, it's that moment when you're convicted. And say, you know what? I know that I'm convicted. I know that right now I'm convicted. God, I need you. I see my sin before me everywhere. And somebody share with you, maybe the Lord, maybe it's in a church service, maybe it's by yourself, whatever the case might be. Remember that weight that you felt? I remember the weight that I felt and the fact that I said, I know that I need God and I'm in big trouble. And I remember, and here's what happens. Listen, the Lord is there and your book is with him. In other words, everything you've ever done, here it is. You want to talk with me, Mark? What do you want to talk about? You know, are you going to tell me about how you've been good? Are you going to tell me about how you're better than the next guy? Or do you want to really me show you what's really in the book? Do you really want to get down to that? Or do you want to be forgiven of it? Lord, I want to be forgiven. All right, just ask my forgiveness and receive me as Lord, and I'll be yours. Lord, forgive me my sin. Come into my heart. I give my life to you. The Bible says the book is gone. Is that good news or what? You know that feeling you felt when the weight came off of you? Remember that feeling? Sometimes I'll pray with people and their whole countenance changes. And the weight comes off of them. And it's kind of like, you know, you can see it on their face. Their book was destroyed. It's done away with. There's nothing else recorded. And what's cool is not only is your book destroyed, then the Lord goes over and writes your name, Stephen, Mark, Kirk. That's not your name, but you follow me. In that book. And it's written. And there's your name forever in the book of life. And if your name is in the book of life, you'll never have the other books pulled out on you. Guys, that's a reason to rejoice. That's a reason to rejoice. This is why we love our God. And this is why we rejoice in our God, because the books are brought out. The books are opened. And, you know, I kind of wonder, I don't know what it's going to be like if somebody tries to make I did this, or roll them, you know. It's going to be like, whoa, I don't want you guys to know what I've done. I don't want you to know. How many of you guys want everybody here to know what you've done your whole life? I don't. But the good news is it's gone. And God doesn't even see it as there anymore. The Bible says the book has been completely destroyed. There's no recollection. It is gone. But for these guys, it's not. And notice verse 13, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Now notice the sea gave up their dead. This may simply be referring to the sea of peoples. And death and Hades just representing, and obviously it is representing all of mankind who has died without the Lord, and now they're brought before the Lord in the throne, brought up from the bottomless pit. Or he may be making some reference to the literal sea, and even the dust of the earth is going to be regathered that day for them to be in those bodies to be judged. I don't know, but either way, we know that everybody's going to be gathered together, and they're going to be judged according to their works. Not what they say, but what they've done. And it's all going to be there. And notice verse 14, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And again, remember we talked about the second death already. The second death is we're born once, right? We're born once in our bodies, in the flesh. And then if you give your life to Jesus Christ, you're born again because now your spirit comes alive. See, a lot of people think born again is just a term. That means you're a Christian now. No. It's not just a term. It's something that really happened. You're born once in the flesh. Now you're born again, a second time in the spirit. Your spirit was dead at birth. Now your spirit suddenly comes alive when your book is destroyed and when you receive Christ, and now you're forgiven and a new creature in him, and now you're alive a second time. However, for those who were never born the second time, they're still down there in the bottomless pit. They were only born once, and now they have to face what is called the second death. You see, if you're born twice, you'll only die once. Okay? But if you're only born once, you'll die twice. And that is the second death. He says, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. So everybody comes up, stands before the Lord. They're cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And so now we have the explanation for the second death. And then lastly, notice it says, and anyone, I have anyone underlined, anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And now eternity begins for them. And for us, it begins with a brand new heaven and a new earth in the kingdom of God. Guys, listen, the question for us today is, are we in the kingdom of God? Have we been born twice? Have you been born just once, or have you been born twice? I can prove you've been born once because you're here today. I can't prove you've been born twice because I can't see your spirit, but God sees it. And unless you're born twice, you're going to be held in this place called the bottomless pit until the very end at the great white throne judgment. And everyone will be brought up and stand before the Lord. And there's going to be myriads of people, and all their books are going to be brought out for everyone to know and everyone to see and to silence every mouth and every argument. And the Bible says God will simply just cast judgment and they'll be thrown into the lake of fire. We had the first three in there, the false prophet, the Antichrist, and of course, Satan himself. Now everyone, all people are in there. The question is again, where are you? You know, we all love a second chance, don't we? And one thing that God gives us is a second chance. We've been born in sin. God now gives us another opportunity to be born again in the Spirit. Speaking of second chances, I read about a college football coach faced with the possibility that his star player might be declared academically ineligible. He was doing really bad in his classes, and the coach goes to the professor and pleaded and said, look, you can't flunk the kid. He's my star player. So the professor said, all right, bring your player in. I'm going to ask him one question. And if he answers the question right, then I'm going to let him be on the team. So the player comes in, standing there. He says, all right, son, I want to ask you this question. What is 2 + 2? And the player stops and thinks for a minute and says, 4. And the coach goes, oh, professor, give him another chance. Give him another chance. See, the professor, the coach didn't know it was 2 + 2. Anyway, okay, so that joke didn't work at all. I completely bombed that. But here's the bottom line. He needed a second chance. I need a second joke, right? Guys, some of you guys need a second chance this morning. You need a second chance. You've lived your life on your own without God. It's been a disaster. It's been a disaster. And you're at the place where God has shown you. It's a disaster. I've completely messed this up and ruined it from top to bottom. I need another opportunity. That's called Jesus Christ. You simply confess your sin, you ask God to forgive you, you repent, and the Bible says you'll get another chance and be born again. And you know what? Even if you mess up after that, it's all washed away. Your book has been destroyed, and you've got eternity to build a brand new book with the Lord. Is that great or what? I want to give you that opportunity, if you don't know the Lord, to be able to receive him this morning. Guys, make sure your book is destroyed. Listen, let's have a book burning right now. Everybody with me? An old-fashioned, they make fun of Christians, right? You guys are book burners. Well, we've never had a real book burning, but we're going to have a spiritual book burning right now. If you want to receive Jesus Christ, we're going to burn your book in heaven. Those books that are held up there that he's going to open up on that judgment day, you can get rid of yours right now and never even worry about it and be with us in the kingdom of God if you simply receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Let's pray. Father, I don't know that we have anyone here today that's unsaved. I don't know that. I don't know whether we have anyone that doesn't know you. Maybe they just now realize I've been born once. That's quite obvious, but I've not been born again. And Lord, by simply receiving you as Lord and Savior, they'll be born again. The good news, God, is that their book in heaven that has recorded all their sins that you're keeping right now on your shelf will be destroyed for all eternity. And so, Father, I just pray right now that you would begin to start burning those books. And if you're one of those right now that says, I need to have my book burned today, how do you do that? You simply do it this way. You confess your sin. You believe that Jesus died on the cross and you receive him. You pray this prayer. And I want you to pray this with me if that's you. Lord, I confess to you that I am a sinner and have made a mess of my life. Pray it to the Lord. I want another chance. And Lord, I know that you give another chance. And Lord, your word says that you died for me on the cross. And I believe that you died for me on the cross and spilled your blood for me. And you rose again the third day so that I can live forever. So Lord, here's what I ask. Please forgive me. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior, and I give my life to you. And Lord, I want to thank you for giving your life for me. In Jesus' name, amen.